It's good to be here, and may the Lord continue to bless us and guide us. And we come with the expectation that there are blessings from the Word of God we may not have noticed before. And if we have noticed them before, it doesn't hurt to notice them again. You may open your Bibles to John chapter 8. And while you're doing that, I want to mention the fact that I thought maybe I should have said something during the earlier part of the service. And I do want to take this opportunity to again acknowledge the Lord's goodness in the way that He has brought restoration and healing to my wife Mary. And she's probably closer to the time she was before she began to show her illness than she had ever been. Well, no question about that. And so we're grateful to the healer himself, but also to the community here that has stood by us so faithfully in prayer. We are aware that the medical community also were an important part of all of this. And so we have many reasons to praise the Lord. We are looking at this scripture, acknowledge the presence of some visitors. We're glad you're here. And we trust that as we share together from the Word of God, that you will feel able to enter in and to identify with us as we look at the Word together and to some extent struggle with issues that face us. We don't have any illusions that we have any monopoly on the Word or on truth. We're still on the journey, but we believe it is important that we try to take the Word very seriously and to respond with honest hearts. The title of the message is quite simple, True Freedom. And of course, if there's true freedom, there are also false freedoms. And so let's now read a portion from this passage. verses 32 through 36. Pardon me. Yes, I was going to read a little longer passage than that. Let me get my bearings here. I want to emphasize particularly verses 32 and 36, but I'm reading a longer passage from verses 8 to 47. And I'm going to make a few comments before I read and probably not be making many afterward. But the dialogue here is between Jesus and the Jews. And he tells them that the truth would make them free. And their response is that make us free? We're already free. We've never been in bondage to any man. Oh, it's interesting that the historical record shows that they were indeed in bondage to the Egyptians. There was the Babylonians' experience, but somehow they felt that they had never been in bondage, and that they were Abraham's seed. Well, Jesus responds this way: I know that you're Abraham's seed, but we're not talking about genealogy. We're talking about a different issue. And if you were truly Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. But you're obviously on a different side. And so I'm going to read now the two verses that I wanted to highlight, verses 32 and verses 36, and then read the longer passage. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And now reading from verse 20, it's a rather long passage, but I felt I should do this time. Verse 20 and following. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye shall believe not. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. Then they said unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Therefore hear them, because ye hear them not because ye are not of God. I admit that the conversation here is not quite on the level that many of us would seem to idealize. It's not particularly characterized by tact. Jesus was very confrontive. Why? There were various serious issues at stake. It was life and death. And he was more interested in communication than he was in tact. And I believe that we should cultivate the art of being kind, whatever we need to say, as far as that's concerned. But let's remember that communication in our time is also extremely important. There's one verse here that I struggled with a bit. He talks about the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. He is making a difference between a slave and one who belongs in the family. And he's saying, in essence, that the servant it cannot be assured of permanence in the home because he is a slave. But it's important, of course, that we belong to God's family, and it's important to us this morning that though we are not physically of Abraham's seed, that we have, through Jesus Christ, the right to belong to God's family. And I know that there's a good bit of interest and discussion in terms of Israel and of their place in modern, don't like to use this term, I guess it comes to mind, modern history, current events would be better, I guess. But the thing that I'm saying is that I think that we want to remember that Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 3, if ye then be Christ, if ye belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so let's spiritualize that this morning and assume that the thing that is more important than who our parents and grandparents were is that we belong to Christ. And we have a local name that comes up here quite often locally, an ancestor to many of us, and his name was Dan Mast. He lived from the years 1848 until, 1930 he died, I guess. And he was very, very influential. And so we appreciate what he taught and how he lived. But let's remember, those blessings don't automatically transfer from generation to generation. That's the reason that the Bible says you must be born again. God has no grandchildren, he only has children. Well, we must hurry on. We believe if there is true freedom, there are also false freedoms. And the scriptures aren't silent concerning false freedoms. And we know that freedom and liberty is a very popular topic in this day and age, and many times has political implications. And I think it is certainly thankworthy that we have the freedom that we have to meet like we do. But freedom and liberty is, in the final analysis, a very personal thing. And God wants us to enjoy real freedom, every one of us. Well, I'm going to be reading several other scriptures that may be taking more time than we should, but this was what seemed right to me. I guess I'll turn to Romans 6 first and read several verses there. As much as we idealize freedom, how free are any of us? Are any of us free enough that we can claim independence from a master? Or is it rather a matter of choosing who shall be our master? I think it's important that we keep that in mind. We are, by design, we are servants. And it's extremely important that we remember to choose wisely, because the only wise choice is to choose the perfect master. And that is freedom. That is freedom indeed. That is the one who could say honestly not only that he represents truth, but he is truth. It is also true that truth is such that we don't change truth by what we think of it, but the option is this, that we either receive it honestly and are blessed by it, or we reject it and are judged by it. That's what it boils down to. Well, Romans 6, and I'm going to start reading at verse 11 and continue there. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And here is the verse that we want to notice particularly. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Pretty clear, pretty simple. And it is the word of God. There are several other scriptures we want to turn to. And We want to remember that we're just reiterating what I said earlier, that if there is true liberty, there are also false liberties. And there are liberties that are delusions. And the person who assumes that he is free and answerable to no one will find out eventually that there are results, there are consequences to a mindset like that. And we could offer, I'm going to give just one illustration, and there are certainly many others that could be given. But a lot of us assembled here have driver's licenses. That gives us the liberty to drive. However, there are boundaries to that liberty. Statistically, we are told that teenagers, kind of hesitate to say this, and senior citizens have a higher risk of accidents than do the in-between groups. Well, I could tell a teenage story or two, but I will tell a senior citizen story. It goes like this. There was this man who was pretty well along. He was some older than I now am. And he was still driving. The family was uncomfortable that he was still driving. But that can be kind of a touchy situation, you know. So they didn't quite know how to handle it. The neighbors were aware that he probably shouldn't be driving. And nobody quite had the courage or the knowledge how to address it in a helpful way. And I'm sure there were prayers offered that nobody would get hurt. But one day, this older brother was driving his car in the garage. And don't you know, he just misplaced that foot a little bit when he wanted to stop. And instead of the brake, he touched the accelerator. What happened? He pushed the back wall out of his garage. And he was so humiliated and so let down. He never wanted to drive again. And his family were thankful that their problem was solved. Nobody was hurt. You see, he had lost his eligibility, his liberty to drive. And after all, the brake pedal and the accelerator are pretty close together, if you remember. But let's just be aware that our liberty, our freedoms are prescribed within certain boundaries. Now, I'm going to be reading something from Galatians chapter 5, because it's pertinent to what we're trying to say. 13 to 18. Now, this is the preface to the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, but I won't be going quite that far. But it is a reminder that the liberty that God wants to give us can be sort of, twisted. And we can respond wrongly to it. Yes, I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, that walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he is saying here, your liberty is real, and we should resist the temptation to use it as a cover for wrongdoing or as an occasion to the flesh. But rather, we should use our liberty to reach out and serve one another. Big difference. The human tendency is to use liberty as license, but that's not God's plan at all. I'm going to turn to yet another scripture with similar implications, and that is in in 1 Peter, the second chapter, several verses. I'm going to start reading now at verse 9 and read at least through verse 16. You know, I will just read here without making comments at this time. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, or we would say our walk of life, honest among the Gentiles, excuse me, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak evil of you, against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that ye with well-doing may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And this is the verse, the key verse, as free and not using your liberty as for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, and so on. And so it's again pointing out the possibility of misusing the liberty that God gives, using it for fleshly purposes, using it for selfish purposes. It says, rather, be servants. This is the right expression of Christian liberty. Very different from the self-centered notion that nobody's going to tell me what to do. After all, I'm free. Well, that displays a spirit of arrogance and really a very, very serious level of slavery to self. And it is something very different than to be free indeed, or his right response to the truth that makes us free. Now, the question I want to lead up to is this. What does that mean to you and me as members in the local body of Christ called Center AM Church, part of a much larger body that is worldwide, of every nation and tongue and kindred and people? What does it mean? Does it have practical implications for us? We too have been called to liberty, and we are not to use that liberty as an occasion of the flesh. We have access to the Savior who has said, if the Son makes you free, then you're really free. And I believe there are many freedoms that are not really free, not free indeed. There can be a response to truth that does not gender liberty. And unless we can find practical implications for ourselves, we're just doing an academic exercise. And again, I hope that you visitors will bear with us and think with us, and you're free to respond to the message if you care to after the service. But let's face the fact that Satan is in the business of offering imitations and counterfeits. It's only Christ that can give us the real thing. And Satan specializes in that sort of thing. He likes to confuse, to deceive, and to destroy. And I have full confidence that no one here wants to be his ally. And yet, he's very interested in what goes on here. If we're free, we don't have any unwholesome addictions. Now, I'm assuming that to the people here, we don't worry about nicotine addiction or alcohol addiction, but it's very prevalent in the world. When Mary was in Wichita, preparation for surgery, where they had a lot of questions for her, and one of the questions was, does she smoke? Has she ever smoked? That would have been pertinent information for heart surgery. And so I'm grateful that we don't have that sort of thing to contend with. But what about other addictions? Do you realize that we can involve ourselves in the internet in a way that becomes addictive? We can take an interest in sports that is very addictive, and national sports in this country is idolatrous, really. And it can also, is potentially very addictive. And I believe that clarity on these issues will affect the way that we participate in the church life here at Center. It will affect the spirit and level of our support. And if rules are the essence of our Christian life, our view is essentially legalistic. Rules are to express a principle and never the essence of spiritual life. And if rules are in our way of how we would like to live, I believe that we need to reconnect with the Lord of the church, who can make us free indeed. There are at least three ways of response to the things that we have agreed to. And one of the ways is that we can be willing and joyful participants with freedom and security. That's the ideal. A second response might be that we respond and participate with some sense of obligation. And that's certainly inferior to the first response. And there's a third response I think we need to be aware of and the implications. And that is intentional noncompliance. And intentional noncompliance has serious long-term implications. The practices here are an honest attempt to respond honestly and visually to scriptural teaching. And I would repeat, we have no monopoly on how to do it. But we believe there is a moral obligation of honest response. And it's like, we well know, we don't really choose our background. And our background does affect the way people think about some of those things. But let's remember that truth is ultimately not subject to our background or to our preference or even to our interpretation, because truth is able to stand alone apart from that. But I'm saying that intentional noncompliance has serious long-term implications. And my observation leads me to believe that one of the implications is that eventually it makes some scriptural practices optional. And I've lived long enough to have observed some of that in transition. So my appeal this morning to all of us who are gathered here, that we remember that those that Christ makes free are free indeed. And those that respond honestly to truth are also blessed by that. And failure to do that is to be judged by truth. Let's be the kind of Christians that find joy and security in living honestly before the Lord and before our fellow man. The Lord needs such, and we need that with each other. The options are to choose a compromised freedom that is falsified, or to choose freedom indeed. The choice that we ought to make is obvious. May God give us grace and courage to choose wisely. Let's kneel together as we pray. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your love and your grace and your word. We thank you that your word not only shows us how to live, but also the Lord Jesus gives grace that we make wise choices. And Father, we thank you for each one that is gathered here, and we pray that without exception, we might sense your presence, might respond to your word with honest hearts. We just commit one another into your gracious care, praying that you will lead us into paths of righteousness for your great name's sake, and keep us unto eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps just a few additional words. I won't make this long, but...